So, Georgia, get us started as you always so well do. Get us started talking about Roman Holiday.
Thank you, Moya. Well, I think this movie is significant for so many reasons. And believe it or not, it is the number one foreign film in Japan and has been for
What?
many years. Yes.
Why?
Yes. Well, I don't know why, but apparently there is just so much affection for this movie. And it started a lot of Japanese women copying Audrey Hepburn's hairdo.
What?
Yes. And nobody in movie history has made a debut quite like Audrey Hepburn has. This just rocketed her to immediate stardom. I
I can
mean,
believe that.
this is just really amazing that she did this because she was an unknown the day before this movie came out. She had done a little, just a tiny bit of film work in other countries. She made a very small appearance in the Lavender Hill Mob. If you look very closely, you'll see her for just a very brief, very small scene. But yeah, she was a total and complete unknown. They originally wanted to cast Elizabeth Taylor and Cary Grant in this movie.
I can see that.
Yeah. And so this movie is iconic because it is so charming and fun and lighthearted. It's timeless, it's sweet, and yes, it is romantic. And some people consider this to be the standard for our romantic comedies to follow.
I
And
can
so
see
that's one of
that.
the reasons why I think this movie is so significant. So I'm going to get you started a little bit. Yes, this movie was nominated for 10 Oscars and it won for Best Actress with Audrey Hepburn, the first lead role she ever did, and boom, she automatically got an Oscar for it. And the Academy, the Academy, as you know, they normally do not give out an Oscar for somebody who's just starting because they see young people who have a hot career ahead of them. And so they will wait for them to earn their dues. But this is trying to tell you just how solidly Audrey Hepburn won over all of Hollywood so quickly.
Wow, that
Now,
is crazy.
it also won for Best Story by Dalton Trumbo and Best Costume Design, Black and White by Edith Head. And if any of you know anything about costume design, and I hope our good friend Norman is listening, you will know the significance of Edith Head designing for you. Later on, her favorite designer would be Hubert Givenchy. And so
Absolutely.
you would see her wearing a lot of Givenchy clothes, and she became in herself such a style icon. Women started to copy not only her hairdo, but her style because it was an effortless chic. And another thing about her is that at this time, movies were really featuring these buxom blondes, and for her to be so popular, this was just really kind of turning the whole style industry on its head at this point.
Well, she was the age of the gamine. Is it, didn't she kind of really start that? However you say the gamine or however you say it, like the kind of boyish, sweet, innocent kind of look, is it? Because I think that's what I've heard before.
Yes. I pronounce it gammon, but I may
Gammon,
be
okay, because
pronouncing
I
it
think
wrong.
gamine, that's a biological term, I think. But yeah, gammon, however you say it.
But she was only 24 when she made this movie, and her
Right.
co-star Gregory Peck was 37. So yeah, there's a 13-year age difference. And they had such an amazing director and producer. This is the wonderful William Wyler, and we, all of you who follow Bette Davis like we do, know that he directed Bette Davis in Jezebel and The Letter and The Little Foxes. He also did other big blockbuster movies like Ben-Hur and Mrs. Miniver, Dodsworth, The Heiress, and Wuthering Heights. So William Wyler's instincts proved spot on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. Bette Davis, attributes a lot of her success to William Wyler. And I think they had an affair.
Okay. They did. They had a fling.
It's Betty David. Look, those old broads, man, it was something else, man. It, you know, y'all want to talk about men back then and men now. Like, oh, they're so, yeah, oh, I'm afraid. I'm a helpless, you know, woman in the world. Those old broads, man, it was something else.
You know, one of the things that's kind of coincidental about the timing of this movie was Princess Margaret, you know, who was Queen Elizabeth's sister. I think this was maybe the partial inspiration for it, is she was having a relationship with a divorced commoner. His name was Peter Townsend. Mm-hmm. And so she had a huge decision to make about love and duty to her country.
Yeah.
And so her sister was telling her, you can't put your happiness first. You have to put your
duty,
country and the royal family first.
Right.
And so that was what was going on at the time. And I think that's really what kind of captured people's interest in this movie, kind of helped propel it along. So there's a variety of things that caused this movie to really be so big as it was in 53.
Now, Georgia, you just answered my question, because that's when I first saw the movie, I didn't have that context. And now, you know, becoming a bit of a history buff and a not so secret wannabe Anglophile, I was thinking about, I said, man, I wonder former Queen Elizabeth, for RIP, and her sisters, did they have any, because it was right around that same time period. So thank you for clearing that up, because that's what I suspected. So this was a perfect move. I mean, they caught the zeitgeist.
They really did. And so it's like the reverse of a Cinderella story, because usually you see like a commoner who wants to be like a princess,
right.
But this is the opposite. This is a princess who actually wants to know what it's like to be a regular girl for a day. And that leads me kind of into just a little tiny bit of the plot. And I want to tell you, this is such a gem or a real treat if you have not seen this movie. And it is, to some people, they might think, oh, you know, it's just a little too saccharine, but actually there's some depth to it. But Audrey Hepburn plays a princess, and she's on. More, because she just feels so boxed in, and she doesn't feel any freedom or feel like she has a life of her own. So I'll try and just give you just a little brief summary of what happens. She decides to escape. And unfortunately, because she had a little bit of a meltdown, they gave her a sedative. So she's very woozy. And so she escapes from the castle that she's staying in Rome, Italy. And who should happen upon her while she's kind of like passed out? But Gregory Peck. And Gregory Peck is a foreign correspondent, and he's struggling. And so he happens to see a picture of her in the paper, and he immediately recognizes this is the missing princess, because all of a sudden the palace goes like on red alert and her security detail starts looking for her. He knows who she is, but she won't admit who she is. And of course, he tells her he's a salesman, which is also a lie. And so he takes her back to his place, and they have a very chaste, innocent little, you know, like he lets her stay there. And then the following day, they go on this wonderful little madcap spree, and she has a day like she's never had before, in complete freedom. Nobody knows who she is. And then, of course, at the end, she has the big decision. She's enjoyed it so much. Is she going to go back to royal life and her duties, or is she going to continue with this man that she finds herself falling in love with? Now, the ending is not a pat ending, and I'm not going to spoil it, and I'm not going to say anything. If you're feeling sentimental, you might want to get a hanky, but it is the right ending for this. It is the right and natural ending for this movie. And I want to say that, if this was like a slice of heaven that you're seeing. And, you know, Moya showing the iconic picture of them on the on a Vespa scooter. The thing is if you're a really diehard, hopeless romantic like me, you're gonna really wish that everybody, and I mean everybody, could experience a day like they did with someone that you come to care for as much as they did. So that's my wish for all of you, my lovely listeners. I wish all of you could have a day like this, with just joyous, fun, romantic, just like they do in this movie. And of course, I think that her debut was fantastic, but you have to remember, she goes on to play Sabrina and Holly Golightly and Eliza Doolittle.
Yeah.
And to me, when I was watching her, I don't know if this happens to other people, I like to hear from you, but when I would see her, she has such a strong and natural screen presence. I was feeling like, in a way, Gregory Peck, he was underplaying it. He kind of faded into the background when he shared the screen with her. Yeah. I just felt that was happening because she had such a huge star quality and such presence. I mean, when she smiles, her face just lights up the screen.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Do you think Elizabeth Taylor would have been a good choice in this as well, or what?
I think Elizabeth Taylor would have done a good job, but I have to put my money on Audrey Hepburn because she is truly convincing being royal to me. She was truly convincing.
Yeah. How old was Elizabeth Taylor? Was she around the same age or something?
You know, I don't know for sure. She probably was, because they were looking for somebody young enough to be able to play that convincingly.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I love Liz. Don't y'all fool Elizabeth Taylor. I absolutely love her. I'm more of a Liz Taylor fan than this lady, Audrey Hepburn. But I get it. I get it. They call it lightning in a bottle. And I saw some of those early movies you were talking about. If you blinked, you missed her movies. But I did see her. Like, you know, when I saw some of those old movies originally, like, oh, look at Audrey Hepburn. But again, if you blinked, you missed her. Because she was in, wasn't she in a movie with Elizabeth Taylor? Like, they played two children. Oh, no. I'm wrong. Was it Jane Eyre? And she played one of the little girls. She was a little girl at the time. The one with Orson Welles. I hope I'm not getting these movies mixed up. And she played one of the girls in an orphanage or something. I hope I, and if I'm getting this wrong, y'all, please, because I will mash movies together. If I'm getting it wrong, please let us know. You can always DM us. Our comments are live right now. And let us know. Let me know if I'm getting this wrong. But that's when I first saw her, and I think she, in the movie, well, I won't say what happened to her in the movie, if that's the right movie. But anyway, I remember seeing her in those early movies. But yeah, Georgia, you did an excellent job. I really don't have anything else to add to it. But, you know, I'm not a huge romantic movie person, but I agree with you. Like, so we've been on the road. Harry Met Sally for its time period. Perfect. Pitch perfect. And I think for this movie, for its time period, pitch perfect, totally accurate. I wouldn't add anything or take away from it. And like I said, I don't even like romantic movies. But this one was it wasn't too sappy. It was very funny. Very funny.
Yes.
I mean, up like laugh out loud funny. And not corny. Yes. It was not corny and not Georgia, you kind of say it's sappy. You know, like if you like a hopeless romantic, well, yeah, you'd be like, oh, this is so beautiful, you know. But it wasn't disgusting. It wasn't saccharine. So saccharine with people like me, you know, who don't like these, like, oh, I can't look at another frame of this. But Georgia, I have nothing else to add. You perfectly did this, and I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Moya. You know, looking at it, I thought maybe if it was made today, they would call it slumming it. The princess goes, or they would say something like roaming around Rome.
That would be a good one.
But it was a joyride. This movie is. So if you need like a pick-me-up, have we got the perfect movie for you? Yes.
Absolutely.
And like Moya said, it was lightning in a bottle. And for me, it was just kind of magical the way it all came together.
Yes. Yes.
And I am just so amazed at Gregory Peck, because usually he plays these very serious roles.
Right.
And
in
this was a side of him I'd never seen before.
Right. And just real quick, I don't want to leave him out. Huge Gregory Peck fan on and off screen. And he was so handsome here. Because, you know, he had, I think this is our second Gregory Peck movie we did. The Hitchcock one is escaping me right now. The Paradine Case.
Yes.
And you know, he's not forgotten, but he's kind of, I'm not going to say unsung, but, you know, when you think of like great Hollywood actors, you know, he's not all Hollywood stars. Let me just say that. You're not going to say his name as a Hollywood star, but as far as actors, absolutely. Gregory Peck, and this was a landmark film, you know, for various reasons, especially romance films, but he's been in some really landmark films. Of course, To Kill a Mockingbird, and we love that one. But my favorite Gregory Peck was him with the white whale, Moby Dick. Because I like I like that story, period. I like the history behind it, too. So I like him in that one, because he was not afraid to take on different roles. And I respect that about actors like him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is nothing to take away from Gregory Peck. He is absolutely amazing and talented and so good looking. But so this movie embraces a joy for life, and it gives it such an irresistible quality. So if you haven't seen it before, you're in for a real treat. And if you saw it a long time ago, it's about high time you saw it again.
Yes. So I'm going to end it there, George. Is there anything else you want to say?
Nope, that covers it for me.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to us for Roman Holiday. Go and check it out. It is streaming at your various platforms. So absolutely go check that out. If you are not in a mood for a romantic film, it has action, it's hilarious. So, you know, you just a movie, you want to sit down and enjoy a movie and be whisked away to Rome. You know, because people were traveling to Europe, you know, people still travel to Europe, but back then this was post-World War II and things were trying to get back on their feet. So people were, who could, you know, traveling worldwide was just, you know, big to be all end all, you know, back then. So anyway, go and check that out. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, follow us. We're on, obviously Facebook. But our YouTube channel, we upload new, this will be uploaded this Monday, but we have new uploads to YouTube every Monday. So go ahead on and check that out, and please follow and like, comment, and subscribe on our YouTube channels. Thank you guys who are listening to all our platforms. And for those of you joining us live right here on Facebook, thank you so much for all your support. So for How Betty Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood, I'm Moya.
And I'm Georgia.
And we'll see you guys next time. Oh, Georgia, our next movie. I always almost forgot. I didn't forget. So our next movie will be dun, 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 dun. Georgia, what's our next movie?
Grease.
Grease, honey.
A musical. Yes. We haven't done a musical since Sweet Charity, so.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I think I didn't even realize that. Well, that's been a while. So, you know, we try to run the gamut here and try to please everybody. You know, you can't please everybody, but at least we try to listen. We try. But yes, Grease, the original Grease. And Georgia, just real quick, I didn't know there's like a controversy, like there's Grease 2 people and original Grease people, and sometimes they don't get along, which is, I find that hilarious. But I've never seen Grease 2. I just saw the first one, so maybe I'll go and look at Grease 2 at some point. But anyway, girl, we are going to the original Grease with Mr. Travolta and Miss R.I.P. Olivia Newton-John. So guys, be there here, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Norman, our great friend Norman from Ultimate Fashion History, go and check out their page on Facebook for all the latest and greatest from past, present, everything fashionable. But Norman will be joining us 1 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Facebook Live. Come and jam with us for Grease. All right, guys. Well, you take care on the 22nd. That's 2 weeks from now. So we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.